Welcome back to True Vine Talks with Linda and
Yay.
Rachel. Great
Yay.
topic for today.
How do you have difficult conversations, Rachel?
You know what? It's really hard. Difficult conversations are called difficult for a reason, aren't they? It's awkward, there's tension, you don't want to hurt anyone's feelings, you don't want to create a rift in your bond. You know, be it with your significant other, a family member, a friend, but it's just like there's sometimes they need to happen. They can't be avoided. If they are avoided, then it's just like resentment builds. You don't feel as safe around that person.
Yeah. So the anxious pursuer will pursue a difficult conversation. Don't you think like an anxious pursuer will pursue it, but they'll still kind of they want the bond though more than anything, but they'll
I think unless you've done a lot of work, the anxious pursuer wants to pursue the difficult conversation, but doesn't like start that conversation directly with like a clear intention, like, hey, I want to talk to you about something. It tends to like be more passive aggressive or like a subtle remark here and there. Like, I'm gonna like hint that I'm upset and hope that they ask me what's wrong. Did you agree? I see you nodding.
And the other trait too, Rachel, I think is are you more agreeable or non-agreeable? You and I did that podcast on that.
That's a good point.
So if you want to be agreeable with others, you're less likely to have difficult conversation. And the agreeable person will live longer. The non-agreeable person won't live as long. However, because they're having so many difficult conversations.
All that stress.
Cortisol.
Stressing around.
Having difficult conversations, being disagreeable. And if your core values rub against someone else's core values, then you need to be authentic and tell people how you truly feel so that you can be authentic. But it will create some tension, and your body doesn't like that. Your body doesn't like that.
Tension doesn't feel good, but it doesn't always mean that something's wrong. It does not always mean that you're unsafe or that there's like danger lurking. But tension is uncomfortable. Pretty much always, I think.
Because then you start to feel it. Like when I have to have a difficult conversation, I start to feel this churning. Like if I disagree with something my sister said, and I love my sister, we have a very secure bond. If I disagree, that's a little harder because I love my sister. So I don't want to have any type of break there in the connection. But I don't always agree with her.
No two humans on earth always agree with each other. If they do, someone's not being completely honest.
It's true.
Have a lot of clients say, you know, I want to get to the point where I can just talk about anything, bring anything up, and not feel awkward or tense about it. And my response to that is always, I'm not sure that that is possible. You can feel more comfortable. Like you can feel more confident and comfortable bringing things up. I think there's always going to be, right, because you're on like what we call the leading edge. In that moment, you know, so there's always going to be a little something, something there. It's
Little
always going
something.
to be, yeah, there's always going to be some tension. It's not going to feel completely comfortable. That's how you know you're doing something important. That's how you
Yeah.
know you're, yeah.
I like that. You're on that leading edge there, and you're like, well, I don't agree with that and that interpretation or that approach to something, and then they'll be like, well, then fine, I'm just going to ignore you. You run the risk of losing the bond in a difficult conversation. And I've been planned ignored when I have a differing opinion. Planned ignoring. I'm like, I don't like those planned ignores. It's that the style of, well, if I don't agree with you, I'm just going to pull away from you in the attachment. And that can get rough for the anxious pursuer or the chaotic attachment style. They're like, oh, I'm panicking. I need you. Rachel, I can't disagree with you because I need you. That kind of thing.
Yes. I think for a lot of people, that brings up that inner child wound of like, I'm too much. I should have just kept my thoughts to myself. Like, I'm too
Right.
much. Push people away.
Yeah. That's what makes the world go around, all the differing ideas and views and experiences. And I'm always curious, like, oh, you think something different from me? Well, tell me your experience. And that's just the counselor in us, right? We naturally want to know more because we know we don't know. We don't know everything.
Yeah. And most of the time, if you get curious and really try to understand somebody else's like perspective and feeling underneath that perspective, a lot of times it will make sense. You may still not agree with it, right? But you, if you can understand someone else's perspective, a lot of times it will make sense. Like, oh, okay, this is the way that you see the world. Got it.
Yeah. That agree to disagree is important. The learning conversation. Oh, you feel this way about, say it's the environment, I don't know, something, you want to preserve the bats in the caves because they serve a great purpose to our ecosystem. Excellent. Tell me more about that. So, and then the other side might say, well, we need to, build more companies that have industry, which would take away the air quality or the ability for the bats to thrive in a cave in that particular area. This has happened in West Virginia, and so we have to be thoughtful. There's everyone has a perspective, but that also pays for someone to eat that industry and a job. And we also want to prove, so two things can be true at the same time.
Yeah, that's important. Two things
Yes.
can, yeah, there can be multiple truths. Yeah,
Yes.
multiple truths. Yeah.
And
So, how do we start these conversations? Sorry, go ahead. Please add what you were.
no, that's perfectly correct. Yeah, just how do we come together and say, hey, I see your perception and your experiences that have helped you come to this conclusion. So you want to clarify the goal. What is the goal of us having this conversation? And
Yes, say it louder.
goal? Yes.
Like
And
always start with people in therapy sessions when they're wanting to have a difficult conversation with someone. Let's number one clarify what are you hoping to get out of this? Because if your goal is I want the other person to change their opinion, I want them to apologize to me, I want them to say they're like whatever. My we might want to that might not be the best goal because we can't control their response, their behavior, their thoughts. We're getting into some sticky territory there.
Yeah, that's right. So a good goal for a difficult conversation might be mutual understanding. Oh, I understand that you wanted me to come to that party, and I know that you really wanted me to be there, and it was important for me to be there to have fun with you, and but I also understand that you had a sick baby at home and you needed to stay home. So a mutual understanding of what the person wants and what the other person could or could not do. Is that,
Right.
how does that land, Rachel?
Yeah. That's an excellent example of a goal. Yeah. Another one, like instead of I want, this person hurt my feelings and I want them to apologize and admit all of their wrongings, could be I just want to stand up for myself and communicate that I was feeling hurt and disappointed by their behavior. Because you're in total control of that. You can do that. But there is no guarantee that that person's going to apologize.
Nope.
And we got to be prepared for that.
Rachel, what do you think are some important things for the human body before you have a sit down with someone to talk about something difficult?
Want to try to be in as calm a place as possible. You are going to be tense. You might even be anxious. We want to take some deep breaths. We want to try to relax as much as possible.
Fake yawning works.
Yeah, get some
Fake
oxygen to
yawning.
the brain. Yeah,
Yeah.
makes you relax.
Yeah. And keep in
Absolutely.
mind that you're trying to repair a rupture in the bond, whatever a friendship, coworker, spouse, family member. It's important that you're in a quiet location. And like when we do our therapy sessions, we don't want you at Walmart having a Zoom call with us because you're talking about vulnerable parts of self, and you don't want the whole world to know your stuff. Yeah.
If you're in a public setting, you're going to be more likely to be get embarrassed too. And then that's going to maybe lead to anger and frustration, and so you're not going to be calm, cool and collected. So there's a tendency to like lash out or shut down increases. There's already that tendency for people there. That makes it even more likely. Yeah. So choosing the right time and place. We don't want to do it right before bed. Like,
No.
we don't want to do it first thing in the morning. Like,
No.
timing is essential.
How do you do in the mornings?
Not well. I don't want to be having serious conversation first thing in the morning. I want time to like wake up. Yeah.
Yeah. Get a little coffee in,
Exactly.
stretch.
Yeah, get my bearings.
Yeah, get grounded.
Yeah.
So good. Oh, in a learning conversation, what do we how do we start it out? Like I'm looking at our notes there, is how would you approach that? Hey, Rachel, I felt really sad that you didn't come to the party. I felt sad that you didn't make it. See
I
how does that land
statements.
on you? Yeah.
Yeah.
I statements.
Versus you made me feel sad,
You
right?
made me sad.
That's like pointing a finger at me and blaming me, right? It's like I can't control your feelings. That's, people get defensive when they feel like you're pointing a finger at them.
You're right. You're right. It puts them in the protector defensive mode.
Yes. Yeah. So I statements are essential, so important.
Yeah. I felt disappointed you couldn't be there. Not, you never show up. You're never ever doing nothing.
Right. Now I'm just getting criticized and I'm checking out. I'm like, okay.
Done
I know
out.
where this is going. Yeah.
Cool. And then the next part of your learning conversation or your difficult conversation. And the reason I use the word learning is when I was teaching or something, and learning conversation is I'm getting curious. I want to know more about how come you couldn't make it to the party.
Yeah, I love that actually. Take the word difficult out of it completely and make it learning conversation. Yeah, learning's not easy. Yeah.
So you want to listen actively. So if I'm saying, "Hey, Rachel, how come you didn't come to the party?" Then she might say,
I'll say, I'm so sorry. I truly do wish that I could come to the party, and I just can't leave my baby for that long. I'm just not ready yet.
and then I would be like, "That makes a lot of sense that you want to be there for your baby. I remember those times too." So I'm understanding her perspective. And that's, you have to get outside of yourself to have good relationships.
Yes.
Yeah. Like, oh, so mine wants needs matter, and their wants and needs matter, not just mine.
Yes, applause for that.
Thank you.
Everybody's wants and needs matter in a healthy relationship. Absolutely. Simultaneously, we don't take turns. Well, it's my turn for my needs to matter, and you had your turn yesterday. Like, it's simultaneously at all times. Yes, everyone's needs matter.
Everyone's needs matter. And that's an important thing. And stay on topic, because I do what's called, I keep a record of wrongs when me and
Oh.
Charlie are having a difficult conversation, a learning conversation.
It's hard to change, right? Yeah, I'm sure I'll mess that up.
I'm like, "Do you remember when in 2005 that you went there and you didn't call me?" So there'll be like a record of wrongs, and
Yeah.
it's not even about what just happened.
Right. But it's the same feeling. It's the same feeling as what just
Ooh.
happened, right? Yeah, it's that
Same
raw spot.
feeling. Same feeling. Good point, Rachel. Yeah, feeling abandoned or something.
Yes.
So that record of wrongs, God doesn't want us to bring all that up, because that gets us off the topic. Then the other person, if it were Charlie, the protectors come out and the shutdown, and then we don't get anywhere.
Right. Yeah. So we want to set the right tone going into these learning conversations, right? Yeah, by being respectful and empathetic. A lot of times people will worry, like, well, I'm afraid that, like, as soon as I bring this up, the other person's going to do X, Y, and Z. I'll say, how do you feel just communicating that right off the bat? I have something really important I want to discuss with you, and I'm afraid when I start talking about it, this might happen. You might X, Y, and Z. They're like, oh, I can do that? Yeah. That makes the other person tune in and be aware, right? And actively prevent themselves from doing that, hopefully.
That's good, because you're, like Rachel taught me, you're naming it to tame it. I fear if I tell you, Rachel, that I missed you at the party and I felt disappointed that you won't ever go to a party ever. Never ever, And that makes me feel scared for our friendship. But I want to be honest with my disappointment.
Yeah, Linda's really wanting me to get back out there in the world. I just, yeah.
I think I'm subliminally telling you,
She's literally telling me, get out
"Go do this with
of your house, Rachel.
me, Rachel. Let's go dancing." It's true. It's a good analogy.
Well, one day I'll get back out
Yeah.
there.
Hey, you're doing exactly what you're supposed to be doing. Exactly. Yeah. So I'm acknowledging my emotions and I want to know about your emotions rather than being like, your emotions don't matter. No. Yeah. Yeah. So if I come to you in anger, what's going to happen?
Oh, not a good tone to start out a conversation with, right? Yeah.
Oh, an example, Rachel. Have you ever been out to eat like at a restaurant and then you notice like the waiter maybe brought the wrong thing, but the approach from the consumer is so rude and abrupt. You're just like, I cringe when that happens. There's just,
Yes.
oh.
It is a cringeworthy moment for sure.
Don't do that. If you're listening, please don't be rude to a waiter or a service personnel, because one time I hopefully you worked a job like that and it's not their fault they missed the mark there. And it's
Yeah.
just be like, hey, I see that I got French fries, but I ordered onion rings. Can you bring me some onion rings? It's not your fault, you're busy. You want to recognize their experience as to why they didn't get it right. Don't be so curt with people and mean. I don't like that. I don't like it
Yeah,
when.
everybody makes mistakes.
Yeah. So have a, it's a difficult conversation with a stranger that you don't know without being mean or angry. I don't like that. I don't like
I
that.
don't either. I don't either.
Yeah.
Unnecessary, honestly. Yeah.
Not a good look if you're being mean to service personnel.
Yeah.
I
Yeah.
mean, when the UPS guy comes, I'm like, hey, thank you for my Amazon. Thank you. I feel like I'm happy. Thank you for bringing me something I didn't have to physically go and get. What would you not have gratitude for that? I don't understand people not having some levels of care there because they're working hard. So I went
Right?
on and did.
In the 100 degrees when it's summertime, like, yeah, they're still out there.
We're 25 and snowing, and they're still bringing you your Amazon.
Absolutely. Thank you so much.
Thank you, all you UPS workers, all the postal people, everybody.
Yes.
I went on a tangent.
I know, but it was an important one, I feel.
Thank
Yeah.
you.
What next? We're setting the right tone, we're using I statements, choosing the right time and place. Yeah. And
You're well
then
fed.
yes. What is the acronym? I can't think of it. HALT, HALT. Hungry, angry, lonely, tired. We never want to have a serious learning conversation in any of those moments. If you're hungry, if you're angry, if you're lonely or tired.
Thank you for that. Hungry, angry, lonely, tired.
Yeah, HALT spells the acronym HALT, right?
Halt.
So HALT, stop, do not have a serious conversation right now.
Do not
Hit
pass
the brakes, exactly.
go. Halt. I like that. Yeah. Put that in your toolbox if you're listening, before having a learning conversation. Seek common ground, like the shared interest. What is the interest here? The goal is to have fun with Rachel. That's the shared interest. So to have fun. And so we both love having fun. And so
Yes.
that's the goal. And how do we get to have more fun? We talk about what can we do to have fun? Yeah.
Coming up with a plan.
Yeah, we'll have a plan for something in advance. In the other example, if Charlie has to go on a long trip, he's very, he calls, he texts, he He reaches out to me, lets me know what he's eating, what he's doing, so I feel less fear of abandonment.
You feel involved, like he's thinking of you.
And in those scenarios, that helps you to feel soothed.
So during this conversation, as we're coming up with some kind of plan, or we're attempting to reach a goal, we're doing what's called active listening. So important. So many people don't do this. Because I think a lot of times what happens is we get in our head, get in our own head, and we're thinking about like the next thing we want to say, the next point we want to make, right? Like, well, I haven't expressed this yet. And it's really, I'm not, while I'm doing all that, I'm not listening, right, to what the other person is saying, because I'm preparing my next spiel.
And I do that in our podcast sometimes, Rachel, to be quite authentic and honest and
Me
transparent.
too. It's easy to do. Yeah.
Thank you for empathizing and commiserating with that, because I'm like, oh, our listeners want to hear, but they like our organic kind of banter. So I like that they like our organic
Me
banter.
too. Yeah. So if I'm active listening, I'm pausing. I'm trying my best to pause my thought process, right, of what else I want to say, and I'm just taking in what the other person is saying.
And you're looking at them, you're looking in their eyes, you're noticing their facial expressions, you're tuning in like you do with your baby. You tune into your child.
Yes. Full attention. Yeah. I'm not on my phone. I'm not watching TV. I'm not playing a video game. I'm giving my full attention so that I can take all of that in.
And if you have attention deficit hyperactivity, if you have or anxiety, sometimes you may need like a fidget toy to active listen. I love that. Some of my folks get slime and they use slime while they're doing therapy. And I love that because they're keeping their movement going while also active listening.
Yes,
And
good point. thanks for bringing that up. Yeah, and also for other people who are neurodivergent, it's difficult to like keep eye contact, so we understand all of that.
It's just that you're present, and you're listening.
Other things that help you do active listening is like repeating in your own words what you just heard, right? So I'm understanding, Linda, that you would love to spend some quality time with me, maybe go dancing or to an event. I would love that too, right? Reflecting back what you've heard.
And then when Rachel says that, I feel warm and seen and heard about our friendship. And it's positive, you know. Oh, she hears me. She sees me. And that's that learning conversation. You're both being seen and heard. It's not one-sided. Not one-sided.
If you're not understanding, ask a clarifying question. No. Not accusatory question, to clarify, right? Like clarifying question, I think would be like, what does it mean to you, us spending quality time together?
And to that, I would answer it means a bond for life. So I'll go on to the next life. That's what it means. And that's more than just a surface kind of friendship. It's something more. And that's, people don't know that. They don't know why you're getting worked up.
Right. Yeah. An accusatory question would sound like, well, why are you so obsessed with me? Why do you always want to spend so much time with me? You
Yeah.
know? Why can't you just go have fun by yourself? Like,
Want to have fun by myself. That's so good. I love it, Rachel. Yeah, it's so good. It's like, yeah, and I grew up in a household where there was always finding the bad guy. There was always, let's find somebody to be the responsible one. Let's make them the scapegoat. And that didn't solve anything. It just made it made the tension rise, made conflict more. Everybody was more on edge. Why don't we figure out a solution? Why don't we all get our needs met and not be in this chaos, you know?
It's important to be able to manage your emotions during difficult learning conversations. See, I did.
We got it. Good job.
By
And
staying calm, walk away, take a break if you need to. It's okay. That's so hard for the anxious pursuer. I get it. You want to like start a conversation and just stay with it until it is resolved. But sometimes a break is needed, especially when you get to a point where both people are frustrated and upset. So what a lot of my couples will do in those moments will be like, okay, we're both activated. Let's take 20, right? Go in separate rooms, calm down, set a timer. 20 minutes from now, we're coming back. We're gonna check in. It doesn't mean we're starting the conversation back up because we might need some more time, and that's okay, right? But we're check in. How are we feeling now? Are we calmed down enough? You know, if you need more time, take it. But schedule when you're going to come back to that, or at least when you're going to check in, you know.
Yes,
Because
thank
just
you.
because something's scheduled doesn't mean that it's like a good time, right? We're still, timing is important. But that anxious pursuer needs to know that, like, we're not just going to brush this under the rug. We're going to come back to this conversation because it's important.
And people need time to regulate their nervous system. They need their heart to slow down, their stomach juices to stop flowing. They need to breathe. The nervous system gets activated. I think maybe, Rachel, will you tell them what we mean by activated? I think that's a
Thanks for bringing that up. It's like what we talk about, that fight flight response, right? So we're either feeling upset or anxious and afraid. Our heart is beating faster to pump the blood into our arms and legs, so we're literally ready to like fight or run for our life, you know. So yeah, our fight and flight is the best way I can describe it, but I feel like that's still kind of vague for people. How would you describe it being activated?
Oh, yes. No, I think you did a great job. And
Okay.
the in EFT when we were doing the trainings, you remember we did some of those trainings, they would say the bear would be in the room
Ooh.
or the poisonous snake, and you're trying to manage the bear in the room, which isn't really in the room. But your body is in, I'm going to either die here or I've got to run, play dead, or fight the bear. And ruptures in relationships are as close as you feeling like you could die sometimes with people,
Yeah.
especially your partner in marriage is like, oh my gosh, if they don't see me, this is not good. And you go into primary panic. What's
Yes,
going
I
on?
was trying to think of, yeah, that term, primary panic. Thank you.
Thank you, Dr. Sue Johnson, primary panic. And you do need to, like what Rachel said, take 20 minutes.
Or 10, 15, pick a number. It doesn't matter. Like whatever works for you, and your partner or friend or family member.
Yeah. Because
It's
then
a
you start. Go
go ahead.
ahead. You go
I was
ahead.
going to say it's like a faulty or sensitive smoke detector,
Ooh, I
right?
like.
Getting activated, you ever been like frying bacon or something and it's you don't eat pork, but you're cooking something and
She remembered.
and yeah, and your smoke detector is like wah wah wah, nothing's burning, nothing's on fire, but it's going off. Yeah, mine does it all the time. But that is what like a that's an image or a metaphor for like becoming activated. Feels like something bad is happening, like it's very dangerous. Yeah, when really it's probably just a disagreement or a misunderstanding.
Great analogy. Great analogy. I like the smoke detector. So, yeah, and if you keep going, like if you don't listen to your smoke detector, there's fire. It's going to be a full-blown fire pit because you're like, your tongue, who can control their tongue? No one. They'd be perfect. Start.
Yeah.
There goes that. Bring out the record of wrongs.
Linda's pulling her list out of her back pocket.
Throwing it
Yeah.
the. And then you start cussing, and then you start ranting and raving, and off to the fire you go. And then you felt more hurt. You feel more hurt. You said things you didn't mean to say, or you should not have said, and then that your whoever it is, they say things, and then character assassination, tearing the person down bit by bit. That's and then you're just devouring each other, and that's why you need to have a learning conversation.
Everyone's getting louder, right? Because it's like, I'm not feeling heard, so I'm going to get a little bit louder. And then the other person gets a little bit louder, and they're a little louder, a little louder. And you guys start screaming. It's like, oh, whoa, that escalated quickly. This ain't even that serious. Like, I just feel like you're not hearing what I'm saying. Yeah.
It happens. It's so crazy. Oh, if you grew up in a home where emoting or sharing in positive ways wasn't displayed, it's gonna be hard. You gotta take more time to learn how to be present and actively listen. So, good podcast. What is there another part to our learning conversation that I missed?
I think we hit all of the points that we were hoping to. Yeah. I think maybe the only one that we haven't quite talked about yet would be like clear communication, right? Like
Yes.
be direct. Don't flutter around the bush, trying to avoid the real issue, right? Just be black and white about it. This is what I'm thinking. This is how I feel. This is the exact thing that brought this up.
Yeah. That's good, Rachel. It's like in the summary, like when you're, what are your needs? What are my needs? How can we compromise and meet in the middle? Well, we could plan in advance to go to a party 2 months down the road, right? Then,
Right.
and there we go. And I'm using that as an example, not no, there's no, I know people are listening, they're like, she's pressuring Rachel to go on a party. She has a newborn at home. No. Nothing like that. We're just using that as an example because Rachel and I like to dance, go dancing. We're just using that. So,
It's
yeah.
a great example.
Yeah. And so the learning conversation, we hope that Rachel and I have such good rapport, and we hope that you're hearing what we're talking about, and you would apply that to when you need to have a difficult conversation with someone, learning conversation.
I know that's I'm gonna start using learning conversation. I'm gonna be catching myself a
Yeah.
lot. on talking to people.
Well, we'll let you guys have a rest of your weekend, and we appreciate you tuning in to True Vine Talks.
Yeah, as always. Until next time, everybody take care. Bye.
Bye.